So we've been talking on Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And Rick made this a couple weeks ago, and I love it because it shows the roots. We've been talking about being rooted in Christ, being built up in Christ. And today we're going to talk about being established in the faith and abounding with thanksgiving. And so Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So let's look there. And we'll stand for this verse and then you can be seated. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay, you can be seated. Father, thank you for your precious, holy word. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to study your word. Let us be changed as we seek your face and as we hear your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Now that word established means to stabilitate. So stabilized in the faith. Now it's interesting to me that many times we feel like faith, if you put up the first PowerPoint, we feel like stepping out in faith is like this. Often we feel like it is like stepping onto a tightrope, like, God, I am going to fall at any minute. We're trying to balance ourselves with a big long pole, you know, not really, but we're trying to balance ourselves, trying to keep, and we feel like we make a wrong step and we're going to fall. As we become established in the faith, though, and as we learn really to look at Jesus in the midst of our circumstances, this is what we realize. Put up the next one. This is what walking with God really is like. And some of you need to change your picture of what stepping out in faith looks like. Because as long as you, every time you go to step out, you feel like you're stepping out on a tightrope, then fear begins to fill us. And then our fear cancels out our faith and we can't accomplish what God is asking us to do. And it's no wonder we never step out, because we're seeing stepping out in faith just like stepping out on a tightrope. If we will change our mentality and begin to realize God is so big. Listen, he is so big and so powerful. And when we are stepping out in obedience to him, we are his child. And all of you, I know I would not let my child walk on a tightrope with nothing, you know, underneath them. But I would let my child walk on that. In fact, Silas, you know, has climbed up many slides and fell down and, you know, all kinds of things, you know. But this child is very protected. We have got to learn to see ourselves as protected in the Father's arms. But when we stop looking at faith as our protection, at God, Almighty God is our protection, is when we fall. Peter, and we're not going to read this whole story, but in Matthew 14, it tells the story of when the disciples were in the boat. And as they were in the boat, what happened was Jesus came walking, and we discussed this story last week in the kids small group. And as Jesus came walking, it was about between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And the disciples were freaked out because they thought that they had seen a ghost. They thought Jesus was a ghost. And Jesus said, it's me. Don't be afraid. And so Peter said, if it's you, Lord, tell me to step out onto the boat, or out of the boat onto the water. And so Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out onto the water and started walking on the water. And then he looked at the wind, which was blowing and boisterous. The kids were very good at making wind. You know, there was blowing and boisterous. And all of a sudden, Peter began to sink. And we look at that story and we go, I am just like Peter. So many times I start to look at the wind and I start to sink. And so then we start seeing every time we step out as to a swirling ocean of water where we're about to fall and sink every second, every time. The interesting thing, though, was Jesus' response to Peter. So Peter said, Lord, save me. Jesus saved him, lifted him up. They got back into the boat. The wind and waves stopped. And everybody, all of them were like, truly, this is the Son of God. But Jesus' response to Peter is what's very interesting, because he said to him, why did you doubt? How is it that you have no faith? Now we look at Peter and go, at least he was willing to step out of the boat. Like most of us wouldn't do that. You know, I mean, it's easier to be like the other disciples. And yet Jesus didn't compliment Peter. He didn't go, hey, you know, at least you stepped down the boat and walked a few steps. He didn't go, you know, good job. You know, you sank, but you fell. What did he focus on? He said, how is it that you have no faith? Why would Jesus do that? Because our perspective is what changes. If Peter had remembered who he was talking to, who he was standing beside, if we, when we step out of the boat, would remember God owns the ocean anyway. He owns all the waves. He owns everything that is making this storm so he can handle it. If we would do that, then we step out, look at the wind, go, what you got? God is so much more powerful than you. You don't scare me. And so that's how we have to learn to walk. Because faith, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And yet, because we spend so much of our Christian life walking on a tightrope, when that is not how it is, we spend a lot of our time afraid that we're going to sink, afraid that we're going to fall. Listen, God is our Father. If we are walking in the will of God, we don't have to worry that we're going to fall because God will catch us. He will teach us. He will show us. He will reveal things to us. Now, when we step out on our own because we're in a hurry, because we don't want to wait and hear what God has us to do, that's when we fall. And then we go, God, I stepped out and you didn't catch me. And God says, I didn't tell you to step out in the first place. So we have got to learn when to step out. And we've got to be willing to say, God, I really want to step, but you haven't told me to step yet. And so you have to wait. If Peter asked Jesus, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. So Peter had the go-ahead from Jesus. A lot of times we step out because, like I said, we're in a hurry. We think we know how to handle things. We don't think we need to take the time to pray and seek God and find his will. And so it looks like a good decision. So we step out into a decision that is not led by God. And then we shake our fist at God when we fall and we go, God, how could you let me fall? I'm never stepping out in faith again. I tried that and it didn't work. You know, what I have learned, and this is a big lesson. What I have learned, God is never wrong. So if there is something wrong, it is always on my part. Like it's never because God handled it wrong or he missed a step or he forgot about me or he had an accident, got too busy answering somebody else's prayers and forgot what he told me and the promises that he gave me. The fault is never with him. So when I feel like something has happened and I'm confused, I go back to God and go, okay, where did I miss it? What happened? Where did I go wrong? Because ultimately, we just need, instead of shaking our fist at God, telling him what he did wrong. He is God of the universe. He knows everything. He never makes a mistake. So we are wasting our time. And typically what happens, and I say all of this from experience, to be completely honest, typically what happens, we get upset at God, we shake our fist at God, and God just waits. Like a child throwing a temper tantrum. You know, sometimes you just leave him and go, really? Is that helping you? You know, mine, I go to your room. You're going to do that? Go sit on your bed. I don't want to hear it. And so they go sit on their bed. After a while, my mom would not let us for too long. She would go, now that's enough. Stop. Stop it. And we would go, you know, where you're like still trying to cry, but you can't, you know. And so, you know, but she was like, to a point, it is rebellion when we get to a point where we're still shaking our fist at the God that we know knows everything. We are wasting our time. So the best thing we can do when things don't go the way that we thought they should go is go back to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what did I miss here? Where did I miss it? What did I do wrong? How, you know, what should I have done? And many times God will show us. He'll say, you stepped out and I didn't tell you to step out. He'll say, you know, this circumstance or this was, you know, going on. We have got to learn to wait on the Lord. And listen, that is a hard thing to learn because in our society, we like to move and shake. We like to move. We like to go. We like to, you know, microwave things instead of cook it. I mean, everything is fast and furious. And the Christian life sometimes is not fast and furious. sometimes God will say, wait, 4 months at a time. And you're like, I have many times in my relationship with God said, God, am I missing you? Am I just not hearing you? Because I know myself and I know that I'm non-confrontational and I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'm just not hearing what you're saying to me. And maybe, you know, and I start thinking about stepping out anyway. And I keep going back to, okay, Lord, until I hear you say for me to move, I'm not going to move. And every time that I have done that, I have looked back and seen all that time that I was waiting, God was doing things. And if I had stepped out earlier, I would have had regrets. Janine was talking about that with the worship team this morning, and she was talking about pregnancy. You know, this baby, I mean, I would love, honestly, to not be pregnant anymore. You know, I'm 29 weeks, but technically I'm supposed to wait a little while still. You know, because Judah's not formed yet. He's not ready to come out into the world yet. And so as much as I would like to be done with this part and just see this baby and, you know, be done trying to try on 4 different outfits, trying to find something that looks right, you know, I mean, as much as I would like to be done with that part, he's not ready. Many times we rush a situation and God is going, you cannot see. It is not ready. You are not ready. They are not ready. The situation is not ready. You know, and so if we will learn to wait on God and let him order our steps in his timing, in his way, then we will have less regrets and we will realize that God really is a safety net. He really can see everything. God is so big and so powerful and strong and able. He does not leave us to walk alone. We just have to become established, made sure, confirmed in the faith that we have been taught. That's what that word in the Strong's Greek dictionary. The word established, it means established, made sure, confirmed in the faith we've been taught. And that we've been taught is continuous, is one of those continuous Greek words that we have continually been taught, that we are continually being taught. As we are taught, we become stabilized. Put up that next PowerPoint, please, Joe. Webster's stable means firmly established, fixed, steadfast, not changing or fluctuating, unvarying, permanent, enduring, steady in purpose, firm in resolution. Placed so as to resist forces tending to cause motion or change of motion. Designed so as to develop forces that restore the original condition when disturbed from a condition of equilibrium or steady motion. All of us throughout our lives have times that disturb our equilibrium or our steady motion. We have times where it is easy to not be steadfast, to not be established in the faith. This is why we need to learn the Word of God. We need to learn to stand firm on the Word of God as we are taught, as we hear the Word, as we spend time studying the Word, as we learn to place the Word as truth in our lives. Then that is what begins to stabilize us. Many times we are stable in other things, but not in our faith. We are stable in what we know, how we know what to do, certain things. But when it comes to our faith, we don't put in the effort to become stable in what we know. And what, as Christians, we say we believe is going to last eternity. Why are we so quick to put so much effort and time into something, into things that ultimately are not going to last? We need to be willing to stabilize ourselves by spending time in the Word. We see it's important even to ask God things in faith. Look at James 1, and I love these verses. James 1, 2 through 8. Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm sure y'all are all there every time a trial. Yes. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. Okay, I have to say this. People say all the time, I'm not praying for patience. You shouldn't pray for patience because, you know, all these trials happen. Do not say that. We all need patience. And if trials have to come into our life then to produce patience, then we need those trials. That's just a fact. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do you know that this world down here, God is training us? There are things that God is training. This life is eternal. When we go to heaven, we are not all just going to be floating around on a cloud. The Bible says if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. There are things that God is preparing us to do for eternity. I remember saying to God when my dad was 69 years old and fighting cancer, and I said to God, God, he is almost 70. What does he have left to learn? Like, why is he still suffering? Why are there still battles being fought right now? I believe God was still preparing. Now, I don't understand. I will say I do not understand cancer. I do not understand all the things that happen to our bodies and why and how and all of that. I have tried. I do not understand it all. But I know this, that everything that comes into our lives, God can use to train us. And we have a choice as to how we look at God, as to how we walk through the circumstances that we find ourselves in this life, especially the circumstances that we don't choose to be in. I believe God was doing a work in my dad, and I believe he is reigning with Jesus right now. And so it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. See, a lot of times we just cancel this stuff out. Well, God doesn't really expect that from me. He doesn't really expect me to ask without doubting. I mean, we all doubt. And so we just kind of cancel out what the Word of God says that forces us to move to a different level in our Christian life. It says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. How do we do that? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As we begin to study who God is and what he says, and we begin to plant ourselves firmly on the Word of God and its truth, then we can ask without doubting because we know who God is. And we know that he's willing to answer when we ask him for wisdom, that he does. He's not just going to say, no, I'm not going to give you that. I don't really want you to know what my will is. I'm not going to help you out in this. This you're on your own. If you are walking with God and in obedience and submission to him and seeking his will and way, and you ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you. Now, you might have to get quiet and wait. And you might have to spend some time studying the Word of God to see what God has to say. But if you will do those things, God will give you wisdom. He will speak to you. And so it says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now see, in our mentality that, well, I'll just do the best that I can with my Christianity and God will understand. You know, I will try. That does not jive with what this says. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. God is very clear. He expects faith from us. Why is that? Because he is the God that created the universe. If we do not understand and really believe who we are serving, how are we going to serve him correctly? If we do not constantly bring ourselves to remember, wait a minute, I am serving the God that knows everything. So of course he knows what's going on in my life. Of course he can give me wisdom in this situation. Of course nothing is above him or, you know, beyond him. He knows and he has the answers. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Notice verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we are to be established or stable in the faith. And yet, when we let go of our faith and we start looking at the wind and we start looking at people and we stop looking at the Word of God and we stop believing God is who he says he is, we become unstable, tossed by the wind. And then we feel just like we just want to give up because we feel like nothing, you know, I'm so confused. I don't even know. Look, I have dealt with confusion in seeking the will of God. The best thing you can do if you are confused when you are seeking the will of God is just get quiet. Just get in the presence of God and say to God, God, you know my heart. You know, Lord, that I want to do your will. And if a scripture verse keeps coming to your mind, even if it seems out of the blue, I had this happen recently, and I was like, God, is that you? And then honestly, I have learned when a scripture is coming and it is not what I want to do, like if my flesh is like, oh, I really don't want to do that, and I keep hearing something like in my spirit, I might as well just look it up because often it is God the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and that's exactly what happened. And so I looked the scripture up. Listen, God wrote the Bible. He knows, the Holy Spirit knows what's in the Bible. So he can pull scriptures and speak to you in a time that you need it. But that is why the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. That's why you have got to spend time in the Word. If you want God to speak to you, this is what I told my children. Well, I want to hear God speak. If you want to hear God speak to you, you have got to spend time reading your Bible. Because if you are not reading his Word, then how is he going to bring it to your remembrance? We have got to spend time listening to God. And we cannot do all of what we want to and not give him time to speak and then say, well, God never talks to me. We have to give him time to speak to us. And so this scripture, I don't even know when I had read this scripture, and it kept coming to my mind. So finally I looked it up, and then I was like, I don't know how that applies to this situation. Honestly, I don't know what to do with this. So I started looking up the words. I have My Sword, which is a really awesome app on Android and iPhone, because it'll tell you, can touch the Greek, the numbers for the Greek, and it will tell you what the word means. It's wonderful. You can also search, like, and it'll tell you where that word is found in other places in the Bible. Anyhow, so I looked up the word. I said, okay, what does that word mean? I still was like, God, I understand what you're saying to me to do, but I don't know how to do that. So then I took that word and I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary. And all of a sudden I thought, okay. And then I prayed and I said, Lord, if this is what you're asking me to do, then I need your strength and your help to do it. That's how we walk this out. We let God speak to us. We ask for his help like that child that's walking in the net. We say, God, I need you to show me. I need you to. We remember that he is walking with us. And we obey him with his power and his strength. Because it says a double-minded man is unstable. If you put up that last PowerPoint, unstable is not stable, not firm or fixed, not, notice, it is everything that stable is, unstable is not. And this is what happens when we don't place our faith securely in the awesome God that we serve. It says, not steady in action or movement, irregular, wavering in purpose or intent. Okay, all of us have felt that way at some point in our Christian life. But the point is, we do not have to live this way all the time. Feeling like, God, I never know what you're saying to me. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how. We don't have to live that way. This says, vacillating, lacking steadiness, apt to move, sway, or fall, liable to change or alteration, readily changing. This is sometimes what happens, though, in people's Christian life. And they just look like a roller coaster. Like, one minute they're serving God, and the next minute they're not. And the next minute they're serving God, and the next minute. That is not what Christianity is supposed to look like. We surrender. We read his word. We allow his word to become our truth and our way of living. And that's how we live. I know Elijah in 1 Kings 18:21, and we're not going to read this whole passage because I didn't feel led to, but this scripture the Holy Spirit brought to my mind. When Elijah was looking at the children, the people of Israel, and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And it says the people answered not a word. He was done with them just going back and forth. Look, just decide already. Look, we as Christians, we need to make a decision. God, you are worth everything that I have and everything that I am. You are worth my sacrifice. You are worth my submission to you. You are worth my obedience. You are worth my respect and honor. You are worth my worship. You are worth my giving. You are worth my faithfulness when I don't feel like it. You are worth it. And so we got to stop faltering, because falter means to hesitate, also to limp. Sometimes we limp along in our Christian life. We were not created to do that. We were created to walk in Christ, to live as he has called us to. So if we really believe that God that we serve is who he says he is, and we really begin to cultivate a relationship with him and become rooted and built up in Christ, and stable in our faith, then we will begin to live unapologetically, because we will realize, God, you really are able, and you really are worthy, and you really are faithful. The hard part to comprehend and walk out is that sometimes we have to learn to believe the word is true regardless of what we see. Now, The fact is, there is plenty of evidence. We were watching a video about that in discipleship with the teenagers. There is plenty of evidence for Christianity. If you doubt the evidence of the truth of the Bible or the truth of the resurrection, the book, The Case for Christ, The Case for the Resurrection, those are very good books, because we're not going to cover all that right now. The movies, God's Not Dead 1 and 2, they cover a lot of questions that people face, real questions that people deal with. So there is plenty of truth. There is plenty of opportunities to really search out if we're really searching for truth. But ultimately, it does require faith in order to walk the Christian life. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." And listen, faith is something that even I was discussing with one of my children this past week, because his heart, he wants to believe, but his mind, sometimes he struggles with belief, with, you know, looking at things as they are and believing that in a heaven that he can't see that's so far away. And I told him, buddy, that's okay. We don't believe with our mind. We are saved with our spirit. And so we don't always have to understand things with our mind. We believe and we submit our lives to Jesus Christ, and we walk that out. And then we, when our mind tells us that you really believe that, we say, yes, I do. And we choose, instead of walking according to our reason and according to everything that we can see in front of us, we choose to walk according to what the Word of God says, because there is plenty of evidence for its truth. So we choose to walk according to it. But if we want to have stable faith, we have to stop focusing on ourselves, stop focusing on the circumstances, and stop focusing on other people, because all of those things will cause our faith to waver. If you are standing for healing and you start looking at all the people that haven't been healed, your faith will waver. But you know what? I have seen people that I thought were going to get healed. That they do not determine my reality. The Word of God is what determines what's true and not true. And as soon as we start making other people our reality is constantly going to be changing based on what this person does and that person does and how this one's life goes. That's why nobody else's life should determine how we live our Christian life or what our truth is. The truth is determined by what the Bible says. And that doesn't change. So, we, Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." That word, moved, means to waver, to slip, to shake, to fall, to be out of course, to be carried, to slide, or to slip. If we set the Lord always before us, we do not have to slide and slip and waver and fall. We can walk in right relationship with God from this day forward. You don't ever have to backslide. You don't ever have to go out of your relationship with God. Now, you might not understand, and there might be times that you don't understand what God is doing, and you might not like what he's doing, but you don't ever have to waver. You don't have to totter. You don't have to slip and fall from the truth in the Word of God. The best way, though, to understand and to live that way is, like I said earlier, sometimes we have to change some of our default settings. We have to change our default setting from what I feel, what I think, what looks right to me, to what is true in the Word of God. And that is a practical, spiritual thing where you feel something and you go, this is what the Word of God says. And fear rises up within you and you go, this is what the Word of God says. And you choose to focus your attention on Jesus, on God, on who the Word is talking about, on the truth of who he is. There's a scripture that says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." I have stood on that scripture many times because my feelings were afraid, because I was dealing with fear. "What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will run to you, God, for refuge. I will be confident in you and who you are and what you have done and what you said." And as we begin to do that and we begin to stand, that is what standing on the Word looks like. Is when our feelings are saying one thing and we remind ourselves, we meditate on that scripture and we say, "God, this is what you said." The Bible says in Isaiah 26, "You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Our mind does not stay in peace because we do not keep our mind stayed on Jesus. we keep our mind focused on everything else. We have to continually bring our mind back to focus on Jesus. And when we do this, it will change the way that we live our lives. I want to end with this verse. And we've talked, I've talked about this verse so much because I live by it. But Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. We live in such a stressed out, anxious society. Most people are busy and stressed and worried and running to and fro. Listen, as Christians, we need to be the exception, not the rule. People need to look at our lives and go, how do you walk in such peace? Even when we're walking through hard situations, even when life around us appears stressful, people should say to us, how? How are you so at peace? I see that your life is in turmoil. How are you at peace? Because then we have an opportunity to say, because I don't have to be anxious for anything. I can present my request to my Father God. But notice it says, with thanksgiving. I believe thanksgiving is so important because it reminds us what God has done. And it reminds us who he is. And most of the time, that's what causes us to lose focus. Like I said, if Peter, when he was walking on the water, would have remembered, God created all of this. Like, I am walking on the water with God, who created the sea and the wind. No problem. If we will look at God and go, God, none of this is too hard for you. None of this is too big for you. And we would remember who we're walking with. Then we don't ever have to be moved by circumstances. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Listen, sometimes you do need to make a request. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And a lot of times we just worry in our minds, but we don't ever actually speak it out. I have learned sometimes I just have to make a list of things to God that are concerning me. God, I need you to help me in this situation. Sometimes I write it out so I can make sure that I have, you know, covered everything that I need to cover, that I need God to help me with. And as we do that, the Bible says the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that means we can be at peace even when it doesn't make sense for us to be at peace. When it passes our understanding, how can I be at peace in this situation? Shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can learn to walk secure. Proverbs 10:9, I want to end with this verse. It says, he that walks uprightly walks surely, but he that perverts his ways shall be known. So he that walks uprightly walks surely. That means a place of refuge, safety, security, trust. We can walk in trust with the Lord. We can walk secure with him. And as we do that, he will keep us in perfect peace as long as we keep our mind stayed on him, as long as we stay focused on him. God wants to be involved in all the decisions in our lives. And I've said this so many, but I was talking to my friend Haley last night about it, that, you know, the more that we serve God, the longer that you serve God, what should happen is you should become more and more and more dependent on him. More of your life should open up to him. Because often what I used to think, and I've said this multiple times, but I feel like we need to get it. I used to think the longer you walk with God, the more knowledge you have to just make decisions, like you become confident to just make decisions. The longer you walk with God, the more dependent on him, and you realize how much you need him in every area of your life. But the more you realize how trustworthy he is. Like God, my mom taught me a long time ago, trust God more to get through to you than you trust yourself to hear him. So at times when I think, God, I'm not hearing anything. I really feel like I should be moving, but I'm trusting you that if I need to move, I can trust you more to get through to me than I trust myself to hear you. Because we go, God, but what if I miss you? What if I don't hear you? What if, you know, what if I'm just too busy? If you are taking time to listen to God and reading his word, you can trust that he will get through to you. And you will look back and go, oh, okay, I see what you were doing, God. But sometimes it's not until after the fact. So as we do that, and if we will involve God in more decisions in our lives and trust him, he will begin to speak and you'll be amazed. Like, God, I didn't know you cared about these things. But as we begin to involve him in our decisions in our lives and not just wait until we get to the big decisions. Okay, God, I'm in this big decision. Now I need you to speak. If we will learn to walk with God every day and hear his voice every day and how to handle situations, then when we get to the big decision, we're like, God, I know that you got this. You know my heart. You know that I want to follow your will. God, I trust that you will get through to me and you will show me what to do.